This is Bronco Tuesday, where we discuss the Olympic sports at Boise State. Now, here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Well, we got one of those right anyway. Paul J.'s out sick today. Bob Beeler's down in Albuquerque getting ready for tonight's basketball game. So it's just Chris Walton and David Allen with you. Joining us in the next title studio, Cindy Ball, head coach of the Boise State softball program, and pitcher Kelsey Brodus. See what I did there?
Well done, yes.
I did it. So how are you both this morning?
Doing great.
Doing good.
So you guys just went to Hawaii and enjoyed some games, but not as many games because you got rained out. How's the season looking so far? I know it's very, very early. So,
yeah. Well, we started our first game against Hawaii at their place, and that's always a fun crowd to play in front of. Our team came out strong. We played our game, and we fell short just a few runs. Came back against a very good team, UAB, and won. Then all of our youth, you know, mistakes came out in our second game of the day against Sac State. But you have to take into consideration it's the first time our cleats hit the dirt. And so, what better place than Hawaii to do that
sure.
in? But I was really proud of the team and how they came out and stuck to our plan and have prepared so long for, all right, it's going to be different. You know, we've been practicing inside and just seeing them take it on full force was awesome to see.
Seems like from reading about the games, I wasn't there, unfortunately, seems that you guys were competitive in all the games, even though the Sac State game was an 8-3 game, it was competitive. It wasn't like a blowout to where it's 16-0 in the second inning and you're just going through the motions. So on the early part of the season, everybody's really working really hard to, like you say, stick to the process.
Absolutely. You know, and we had bases loaded with no outs and one of our top hitters out that day, which always hurts because it could change the momentum of the game, just in a blink of an eye. So great things as a coaching staff to see what the team came out with and, you know, how strong we came out in the beginning.
How does this year's squad compare to last year's?
Well, we have a larger squad. We have 8 pitchers.
Wow.
And at first I was a little nervous about that, you know, because pitchers, they have a strong mentality and we've got one with us today. That group works so well together though. They, we've really, really worked hard on the mental toughness. They've done more conditioning than any pitching staff here. I believe has.
Wow.
And, they're really a team within a team and they understand their strengths and know how we're going to use each other. Maybe this person comes in for a few innings. This person closes, and they've really embraced their roles, and it's awesome to see. As far as the rest of the team, very dynamic. We have a lot of people that can play different positions, a lot of speed. And again, we're young. We have 8 freshmen. Mm-hmm. So,
Kelsey, you come to us from Oregon. Mm-hmm. How did you get to Boise State?
Well, my sophomore year, I was heavily recruited by the previous coach. And I just fell in love with the community and the team. Boise State itself, it was just a really awesome opportunity. It wasn't too far away from home either, like an 8-hour drive. And, I just knew when I came here. So, yeah.
So I got to ask a question because I'm reading your bio here. And your senior year of high school, you had an injury.
Mm-hmm.
A, what was the injury? B, how hard is that on your senior year to sit all year and then try to pick up that momentum as a freshman as you come into college?
Well, so I had a stress fracture in my L5 vertebra. And sitting out my senior year was really, it was extremely difficult. But I would rather have it be my senior year than my first year of college because it's a crazy opportunity. And I knew that I was going to get back and with my coaches and my teammates and stuff, like I knew that I had all the support system and coming back from like on my first game here, it was just a really awesome opportunity and I felt really good.
Cindy mentioned, you know, that each of the pitchers kind of fills a role. What is your role?
So my role is a closer.
Mm-hmm.
I throw 66, 65 consistently, and it's an important role because other pitchers throw a little bit different, throw more mm-hmm. spin, and I come in and throw it hard by them and finish the game. So, yeah.
For those people listening, when you say 66 or 65, that's like 150 miles an hour for a baseball player. If you've ever watched any women's softball, the ball gets on you so fast if you're throwing at 66 or 65,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's comparable to about 99 miles
yeah,
per hour.
That's impressive. That's impressive. All right, Cindy Ball, Kelsey Brodus. I'm going to get it wrong. I just know okay. I am before the end of the game. It's Bronco Tuesday. We'll be back with more after this.
Taco. Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
Cindy Ball, Kelsey Brodus from the softball team at Boise State with us. This weekend, you guys go to Vegas. And is another place that should be sunshiny, but we all know that it'll rain at least one of those days because you're trying to play softball. What are the teams who are in this? You got Weber State, you got Memphis, you got Northern Iowa, UTEP, and Southern Utah. What can you tell us about some of those teams? Not specifics, but general.
Well, generally we play Weber State and Southern Utah each year. The other three schools are newer to our schedule. I've actually haven't coached against come. Excuse me, a few of those schools. So mm-hmm. It'll be fun just to see some different opponents, kind of the theme this year. We haven't seen very many of the opponents that we have are going to be facing. So one game at a time, we have eight pitchers. You know, mm-hmm. we'll throw them the kitchen sink if we need to. So
I was asking Kelsey during the break if she enjoyed the travel. And she said basically, yeah. How about you, Cindy? Do you like the travel too?
I do. As a coach, Hawaii is a little stressful. just making sure they're eating and, you know, the driving part and mm-hmm. the traffic. But it's great to bond with the team, get out to different places. I mean, that's really what this game, it brings so many different things yeah. than just the game of softball. And so, you know, some of these girls are playing against people that they've played with. And it's just neat to have that whole experience and throw some competition into it. And I think the best game out there, so.
Kelsey, it's been a million years since I was in college, but I know freshman year is always difficult for just a student. Mm-hmm. How hard is it for you to balance all your classes, the travel, practice, games, and all of that?
Well, at first it was kind of a big shock, actually. Like, I wasn't really expecting how much responsibility I had to take, I guess. But I've gotten the groove, and I've... along with my other seven freshmen, we figured it out pretty well, and we have each other. And all my upperclassmen, like even the sophomores, they just really helped me out and help all of the freshmen out. They kind of guided me into like how I should like kind of organize everything and help me. So yeah, it's not too bad right now.
Ramen noodles, they're your friends.
Yep.
There we go. Congratulations for coming in this morning. Good luck this weekend. Home series starts when? When do you guys start playing at home?
The first weekend of March. Yes, the first weekend of March.
Okay, so at Donald Larson. Mm-hmm. So we'll have everybody come out and see you guys play. So good luck this weekend. And also in South Carolina, the next trip you make. So
Thank you.
Enjoy it. Thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to Bronco Tuesday. First thanks to Cindy Ball and Kelsey Brodus. Hope they have a great season.
Oh, yeah.
I love softball. It's so much fun to watch. But joining us now from the Duke City in preparation for tonight's basketball game, Bob Beeler. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning. I think the softball team had the better of the deal. They got to open their year in Honolulu.
Yeah, but of course they're the only team that can go to Honolulu and get rained out.
As I told you, my dad said that just yesterday. I'd love to be rained on in Hawaii.
Yeah.
There are worse places.
Worse places to be with a day off.
100% agree. Big game tonight, obviously. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Have you heard any on roster changes or whether Williams is going to be able to play for the Lobos? Have you heard?
We haven't heard, but I'm going to suspect no, just because I think you might have heard something that maybe that he was getting better or whatever. But that being said, teams keep things under wraps, and maybe they want to surprise it. I think the fact that there's been a week off maybe leads that there could be, but he's a difference maker for them. I mean, you look at him, he averages 18.7 rebounds, shoots 58%, all-conference player. You know, not to say that New Mexico is not going to be a tough challenge without him, But he's a guy that has been a one of their better players the last couple of years. Sam Logwood has really stepped up. He's a guy that had 16 in Boise. That was with Williams. But in the last three games since Williams has been gone, he's averaging 15. So he's a guy that's kind of picked up the load.
It's a Boise State team that has a seems like it has a different hero, quote unquote, every night. You know, somebody who steps up and has, even if it's just 6, 8 points, something like that. It's pretty amazing, and Coach Rice has to be happy.
Well, yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why this team is where it is in first place, is that they've gotten different production. I mean, Jessup and Duncan hadn't done a whole lot. They've done a lot of little things, but hadn't been mainstays in scoring, you know, for several games. And those were the guys that hit the threes that really helped fuel the scoring punch. Chandler Hutchison, you know, early in the season was like a 20-point guy. You know, he's been a guy that I'm sure is being defended a lot more, you know, challenged a lot harder to get his shots. So, you know, he only makes the one basket, gets to the free throw line an awful lot, and continues to, you know, lead the team in rebounding and also led the team in assists. So I think, you know, you're seeing the emergence of Wacker and Hobbs and guys like that. Reed has stepped up as a starter. Reed is averaging, 13 points a game. So he's a guy that I think is doing kind of what we had hoped he'd do at the beginning of the year. So, again, it's a committee effort by the Broncos, and they're going to need everybody tonight at the Pit.
Is the atmosphere going to be important tonight at the Pit? I know that this season, New Mexico, it's always a difficult place to play for the visiting team, but this season I know New Mexico even lost to San Jose State there, which seemed impossible.
Yeah, they lost to San Jose, and they also lost to UNLV. They, like Boise State, Chris, and it's a good point, have done better on the road than they have at home. They're 3-3 at the Pit in the conference. They're 5-2 on the road. They and Boise State, the only teams to have won 5 games on the road. Boise State 4-2 at home. They are 5-1 on the road. So their only loss was at Fresno State. So, yeah, it's interesting. You'd expect, you know, some of your better teams to have better home records than road records, but so far that hasn't bared out.
I was reading this morning the school record for road wins in a season is 6, so tonight's game could be pivotal for Boise State.
Yeah, that is the road wins in a conference. The Broncos obviously have 6 wins overall, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you figure there's probably anywhere from 8 to 9, maybe 10 road games in a conference, depending on how many games you play. And you know, to get this one, if you get a 6 tonight, then you're looking at 2 more road games, Nevada and Air Force. I mean, you'd like to think if you get this one tonight, you probably can get one of the last 2 where you could set a new record and have 7 wins on the season on the road.
And if you're Coach Rice, you have to, because I obviously growing up in New Mexico, I've seen the Pit and seen the signs that say, you know, a mile high and louder than. But Boise State won in Wyoming, which is higher than New Mexico and Albuquerque. So he can use that as motivation to get the guys ready for tonight.
Their record in Wyoming is really good. They've won more than they've lost at Wyoming. New Mexico, of course, has had better teams over the run that, you know, the teams have been together in the Mountain West. Boise State has only won once here. So I think it would be a very good win if Boise State's able to get it over New Mexico tonight. I think they're playing well enough to get it done. But, when I look at the schedule down the stretch, I looked at you lost to New Mexico and Nevada at home, and those are 2 places you've got to go on the road. New Mexico tonight and Nevada next Wednesday. So still a lot of work to be done if you want to win the regular season championship.
All right, Bob. Pre-game starts tonight at 7:30 with you and Abe, and then tip-off is set for 8 o'clock on 670 KBOI. So good luck. Enjoy the stay. If you get over to Duran's Pharmacy, Tuesdays they have green chili chicken enchiladas, and they're really good. In Old Town.
I'm sure they are. It was much colder last night when I landed than I expected.
Well, then you need a little green chili, my friend. Enjoy it, Bob. Have a great call tonight.
Thanks.
We'll be listening on 670
Thanks.
KBOI. Bob Beeler from Albuquerque. As the Boise State Broncos get ready to take on the Lobos tonight, 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip-off right here on 670 KBOI. Chris and I will be back after national news and local news with the topics of the day, and we will want to hear from you on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
David Allen in for Paul J. as he is a little bit under the weather. Welcome back to the show. Chris Walton here, Todd with 1D, manning the controls. Well, the first real interior drama of the Trump White House happened last night.
It did.
As Michael Flynn resigns over questions about his ties or susceptibility or...
Memory
or his friendship or whether they were just pen pals or was he texting Russians.
Flynn stepped down late last night, and that was after several days of speculation about what would happen to him following reports that came out saying that he had misled the vice president, Mike Pence, and other top officials as well about his discussions that he'd had with Russia before Trump inauguration. And we don't know yet who's going to emerge as Trump's next choice to lead the National Security Council. But this is an administration that is kind of wrestling with a series of national security challenges, the biggest of which just came out a couple of days ago, North Korea.
And
they had a ballistic missile launch.
Yeah. If you're of an age like I am, it comes down to, for the White House, what did they know? When did they know it?
Yeah.
For those of you who loved Nixon back in the day.
Yeah, because I was going to say, those of us who remember the Nixon administration.
Yeah.
The White House is also having to deal with fallout of the immigration order, the executive order, which was then blocked by the courts. And there's some collateral damage to that. The order was intended to suspend the nation's refugee program and bar citizens of seven Muslim-majority countries from entering the U.S. Trump named retired Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg as the acting national security advisor, one of three candidates the president has under consideration for the full-time job. And those are, as I said, Lieutenant General retired Keith Kellogg, also David Petraeus, who was in the news a lot.
Yeah,
and
bad
was,
choice.
He, of course, former director of the CIA, but he had to resign his position back in 2012 after it was revealed that he himself had passed on classified information to his biographer, who by coincidence was also his, mistress.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that
And
part.
The other one is retired Vice Admiral Robert Harward, who is a former Navy SEAL, and he was deputy commander of the U.S. Central Command when it was under the command of General James Mattis, who, of course, is our new Secretary of Defense, Mad Dog Mattis. And he also served on the National Security Council for George W. Bush, and he commissioned the National Counterterrorism Center. So, he's been in government quite a while, but apparently isn't part of the swamp.
Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Because I'm always curious. Are you a citizen?
Yes.
Oh, are you a citizen who needs to know everything that happens in the White House, no matter who the president is?
Not everything. I do like a certain amount of transparency. I think anybody does with their government, especially in the United States. We're kind of entitled to know most of what's going on, with the exception of military tactics and CIA type things, where it would be better if we didn't know.
Yeah.
Because then they'd have a better chance of getting things done.
I'm with you, and so
because if we know, the whole world knows.
Yeah. And so I'm with you on that. So when I read something that says Kellyanne Conway, counselor to President Trump, said today that she did not know whether the president and vice president were made aware 3 weeks ago that former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, who resigned last night, had misled the public and was possibly susceptible to blackmail because of his pre-inauguration conversations with Russia's U.S. ambassador. My question becomes, does she really not know? Which would make her ill-suited for that job.
Well, it seems like I don't know could either be I don't know or yes.
Well, and that's the thing, yeah. And so is she saying I don't know because she really doesn't know, which would make her ill-suited for that job?
Right.
Or does she mean yes, but
I think she means yes, and she would like to steer the conversation away from, why did they go through all this when they already knew that he would be susceptible to this investigation.
And so is she taking the fall, quote unquote, she and Michael Flynn taking the fall because maybe they both knew about it, but that the president and vice president, just because President Trump has been so busy with everything and Vice President Pence has been so busy with everything, getting the cabinet sworn in.
Flynn, I think, definitely is taking the fall. I don't think Kellyanne Conway is going to.
Okay. Because Michael Savage would like to see her take the fall. I don't know how qualified she is to to be the counselor to President Trump. I mean, yes, I think she helped a great deal in getting him elected.
I'm not entirely sure about counselor either. She'd probably make a better mouthpiece than Sean Spicer. And by that, I mean press secretary.
Well, so would you. You'd be better than
Sean
Spicer.
You know, she has a tendency to do those long, drawn-out explanations that you're used to from press secretaries of presidents past, whereas Spicer, you know, tends to lose his cool.
He does. He does seem to have a short fuse, doesn't he?
Kellyanne Conway, her eyes almost look dead when she's answering a question, but at least she gets through the question and, you know, is able to explain it in a way that either convinces people or makes them doze off.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Is this the initial first black eye for the Trump presidency?
Well,
is this a lingering thing?
The first black eye was probably the court order that stopped the immigration ban.
Now your first 100 days, you've already had two black eyes, and we're not even halfway through?
But
100 days?
But it happens to every president. Somebody, somebody in the cabinet screws up something, or somebody resigns for a reason. Right away, though? But yeah, he's different than other presidents. However, a lot of the things that are happening are not unprecedented.
Yeah, that's very good. All right, we'll talk to you next. It's 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. KBOI rewards code Flynn. FLYNN, like Chris was saying, out like Flynn, not in like Flynn, like
he's
normally.
No longer in.
So go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword Flynn, FLYNN, and get your 5,000 rewards points.
Instant message that I suspect is from Boise Rabble Rouser, but it says Blaze Rabble Rouser, but you know, that's autocorrect. Guys, keep in mind that Michael Flynn had previously lied about his son having a security clearance. And he led cheers of lock her up at Trump rallies. And he was dumped as director of the Defense Intelligence Agency because he abused the DIA staff and alienated other intelligence agencies. And his choice as national security advisor further calls into President Trump's judgment. He looked the part, and that was about it.
Ugh, not good. Let's go to the phones. John in Nampa, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
You're good. Good morning, guys.
Hello.
This is probably the first time I've called in where I actually... But I ask you a question, and I care what your answer is.
Nice.
That's sad to say, but it's true. What I'm trying to understand this Flynn thing. What is the big deal in your estimation? I'm trying to flip this around. If this was, you know, the Obama administration started out this way with the same set of circumstances, I don't think that I would care then either. So what is the damage that is done? What's the fallout?
What Kellyanne Conway said even just this morning is she said he quit. He resigned because he had become a lightning rod.
Well, I can see that.
Yeah.
But what is the actual damage that especially the Democrats? I mean, if someone keeps saying the Democrat line I really don't remember. I really can't recall. Right there, you're going to lose your job with me. But other than that, I don't see the damage that this may or may not have caused.
John,
at the time, he was a private citizen that he apparently had these discussions with various people in Russia, and there's something called the Logan Act that he may have violated because it keeps private citizens from conducting any U.S. diplomacy. There have been others. Jesse Jackson comes to mind. Donald Trump himself, who have done similar things.
Well, Ted Kennedy did this with the Russians right as Ronald Reagan was coming into office, and I could see that undermining the president. But I don't see that's what he's doing here. Was that intentions to do that, or?
And it seems like the part that really got to people is that Mike Pence had asked him directly whether he'd had any discussions about this sort of thing with the Russians, and he just said no. And then later he said, "Oh, well, I might have." And again, like you said, when there's too much "I don't recall" in there, it's like, well, you're not much good to me then.
Right. I mean, that's the answer.
Well, I think as the instant message said, I think it calls into question for some Trump's decision making.
and choosing him in the first place.
Yeah, the fact that he picked him in the first place would be something people could latch onto, saying that, you know, you kind of knew he'd had these conversations in December.
Yeah.
And why would you still pick him?
Well, to a certain extent, it's like an HR director for a company who looks at a resume and says, I see here that you have a criminal record and that you've had a lot of jobs where you only worked there for a month and then moved on to something else. And you know, I just have a good feeling about you, so you're hired.
I'm pretty reliable.
And you don't really hear that from
professional
HR directors. You hear that from small businesses who are, you know, hiring somebody as a favor.
Yeah. Rich in Boise, you're on 670 KVOI with David and Chris. How are you, sir?
Well, there's a couple of things about this. The deal is that he lied to Mike Pence and sort of made Pence look like a fool.
Yes.
Defended him. That was the deal. And Flynn, that dossier where he was implicated as being someone who could be a target for blackmail, that was the same dossier that had the thing about Trump and the golden showers thing. That all came from the same report. And, you know, I don't know the crime that he committed, if that's not the big deal. It's the fact that he lied about it. And he's supposed to be a national security advisor, right?
Yes.
And he didn't realize that the CIA would be monitoring phone calls from Russian ambassadors and stuff.
Seems a little naive, doesn't it?
And I agree, Rich. You know, it's not like I say, he didn't steal secrets or anything, but the fact that he lied to you, you can't lie to your boss. It's going to look bad.
Yeah, and he's also the guy who was spreading the rumors about Hillary running the prostitution ring out of a pizza parlor. Remember that?
You know, and I said he was one of the ones that would show up at rallies and help chant lock her up.
Yeah, so I mean, it sounds to me like they're kind of lucky to get rid of him so early on. I mean, because there's somebody who just absolutely can't. Yeah, they're just better off to get rid of him now, because later on, if he would be willing to lie at that such an important stage, you know what I mean?
So yeah. Good point, Rich.
That's all it was about. I don't think his crime was that.
No, I agree. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. You know, it's kind of like, if you want to use a sports analogy, mm-hmm. and I do, obviously, is when you sign a guy as a free agent and then he comes in and he's a malcontent in the locker room,
right.
And is a big cancer.
Yeah.
So you cut him after a month.
Yeah,
you're just like, I'm out. He's out.
Because as it turns out, these are all
T.O. being the example of that.
Well, these are all team sports. And when the team dynamic is upset, sometimes great players can cause you a lot of harm.
And you really shouldn't lie to your boss. If your boss, who Mike Pence is part, one of his two bosses, asks you a question and says, hey, did you do this? And you go, no, I don't think I did. Then 3 weeks later, oh, you meant me. You meant, did I speak to the Russians?
Right.
Yeah, I did that.
But you know I haven't done that, right?
No, you've never lied to me.
Okay, good.
Because you never tell me anything. You gave me the Heisman there a second ago, though. 9:26, Rick has the news headlines coming up next. And then we're going to talk to John and Jim on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live, today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
David Allen, Chris Walton here. Didn't you have your jacket off a second ago, Todd, with 1D, and then you put it back on? I don't know what's happening in this room. I got to start working more Tuesdays.
The temperature fluctuates a lot.
Okay. All right, we're talking about Matt Flynn.
Some days we perspire, and other days you could, you know, hang meat in here.
Meat. We're talking about Matt Flynn. Leaving the White House less than a month, or basically a month after he takes his job, and whether this is a bad look for the White House. John in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Not bad. How about yourself today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
All right. I don't know whether it's good or bad. It's really hard to say. I do know that there are two words that this president will use probably more than most.
What are those?
You're fired.
That's
well, it is his catchphrase, so.
Well, I'm just saying, though, in the sense that he is part of his appeal may be that he's not beholden to anybody.
Yeah.
He's there to do it right.
So I guess, like Rich was saying before the break, let me ask you this, John. The fact that Flynn either resigned or was pushed, either way, it doesn't matter. Can you spin this to where it's like, at least I didn't let him hang on. I got rid of this dead weight, and I moved away from the scandal as quickly as I could. Everybody's expendable except for me because I'm the president.
Well, I think you have to look at it at whether or not, I mean, Mr. Flynn even said himself that he misled.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes.
So if you're going on the man's word, who's a general, and, you know, basically above a colonel anyway, you're a politician. You're not really that, you know, on the mm-hmm. grounds anymore.
Sure.
He was after the job, and like most politicians, willing to say or do whatever it was going to take to get it.
As it seems, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't know if I would say as it seems. I mean, if we look at politicians as a whole, it's kind of the normal,
and it's true.
That's up to us to not put up with that anymore, and the press to ask the right questions.
You know, and we've seen things like that from politicians when they show them addressing different groups who have different angles. They will actually go in and give completely different speeches that contradict each other, and they don't seem to see anything wrong with it because it's just part of campaigning.
Well, I mean, and we can look at, we don't have to go very far. We just go over here to the left coast, and you have Mr. Brown eating crow this week, not doing it out in public like he's been doing for the last year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But now he has to ask Mr. Trump for some money.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It was good to see him a little humbled, wasn't it? Or hear his speech that was a little humbled.
Well, it's expensive to
Why didn't he have a major press conference to broadcast that? I mean, we're talking about politicians, not talking about generals and, you know, basic soldiers.
Yeah.
In the end, it's being a politician.
But I would imagine that when a disaster hits, it is fairly expensive for a state that doesn't have any money because they give it away freely.
They've been telling everybody, they've been giving the rest of the United States the bird anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Sanctuary this, different laws that. Mm-hmm.
It's basically a sanctuary state. I mean, they don't say it that way, but it can, you know, more than any other state, I think, in the union, it is.
Well, and being the president, he's going to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. He can't thumb his nose back at them because those are Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but I would bet you could find 4 out of 10 people that would say, "Yeah, let them have it. They screwed it up. Let them fix it."
All right, John. Thanks for checking in today. We appreciate it. You know, speaking of that dam, I read this morning where 12 years ago they knew there were issues, but of course, 12 years ago, California was in the middle or the beginning of a huge drought, so they didn't think about it, and now they're caught with their pants down.
Well, yeah. And how many people have you heard joke about that in the past week? That, I mean, make up your mind.
Yes.
You don't have enough water, now you have too much water. I mean, aren't you people ever happy?
They really never are.
Mike R. of Boise, and I don't mean my car, which is parked outside, but Mike R., says on the same day that Michael Flynn was forced out, Kellyanne Conway certified that President Trump had full confidence in him. Look who else Trump has dumped. Rudy Giuliani, Chris Christie, the federal court system, and the media. Trump travels light. He doesn't carry much baggage except his family with him. Kellyanne should be next.
Yeah, I don't think she's qualified to do that. Linda McMahon was just approved
confirmed.
By the Senate, confirmed as the small business chief. So.
Yeah, and Linda McMahon, of course, wife of Vince McMahon and one of the people who has run WWE, the World Wrestling Entertainment, for years.
She's going to put a headlock on small business, that's for sure. Jim, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Yeah, you wonder why I hung on so long just to mention this. But,
just to talk to me, I know. It's all good.
Yeah. What do you think about you think UNM will take BSU tonight?
I do not, sir. I don't think the Lobos will win. They're a man down. They don't play very well at home, and so I look for the Lobos to lose tonight.
They don't play well in the pit? I thought
not this year. They're 3-3 this year in the pit.
Well,
they
lost to UNLV.
3-3
in conference.
In conference, yeah. They lost to San Jose State and UNLV, and you know how bad UNLV is.
Interesting. Anyway, I was just going to mention, I mean, you guys like to be accurate on your references.
Sometimes.
Anyway, you mentioned, you know, in like Flynn. The correct deal is in like Flint.
Well, that's the movies in the 60s.
Right,
with,
I just wondered if you knew that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were playing a play on word. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
But actually, the title of the Flint movies was actually a takeoff on In Like Flynn.
Yes.
Because it rhymes with in.
All right, John and Pro-Life, hang on. We're going to get to you next. We're going to take a break real quick, and we'll wrap this up before the top of the hour. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
We'll explain coming up on 670 KBOI.
Thank you, Rick. David and Chris with you. Got about 10 minutes, less than that. Got about 9 minutes left in the show.
Quick instant message from Bob of Boise. He says, it is good that he saw the problem and got rid of it. No one else does that in the White House.
Well, sometimes the malcontents or the lightning rods do stick around longer than they should. John, you're on 670 KBOI this morning. How are you?
Ah, good. How about you?
Doing well, thank you.
All right. I look at it this way, and a couple of them referred to that, that Flynn, I don't think, broke any rules until he misled the vice president. You're fired.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump has shown that he is a man of his word. And so Flynn's gone. And to me, this is a positive thing because the previous president, I don't know who he ever fired, except for people who tried to give him good advice, he got rid of them. That people who lied to the public and stuff, they were never fired. So I find it refreshing that the president is true to his word. How refreshing is that? And I'd like to mention, if I may, on illegals that you talked about yesterday morning.
Yes.
And people bring up that President Trump is coming up with new rules. And I feel that's another problem we've had for many years, probably 16 years or more, of not enforcing immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Basically illegals. And then here comes Donald Trump. He's going to enforce the laws. He don't have to make any new laws.
Probably not.
No, none. And especially using, what is it, E-Verify?
Yes.
Yeah. He's going to, I believe wholeheartedly, they're going to use E-Verify. And when they start using E-Verify, people are not going to be able to work. If you can't work, you have to go find work. Where are you going to go find work? Go home. And the news media is really going to have a great time with this. With all that. He don't even have to deport a lot of these people. You know, I mean, if you go back to Sheriff down in Arizona,
Arpaio.
Yeah. When he started doing that and he started fining people who hired illegals or taking their licenses, people started complaining that illegals were having to leave Arizona. That's why Obama sent all the lawyers down there. Anyway, I just thought I'd point that out.
All right, John. Thanks for the double check-in. We appreciate it.
I find it positive.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
Paula of Boise says, Flynn was already picked for the job when the conversation took place. Oh, and Chris, California is not broke. They are running billion-dollar surpluses. They are the wealthiest state in the union, 20% of the GDP.
How come they always say they're broke? And I'm confused.
I don't know. Maybe they don't want anybody to know how much money they
have. That's true. Pro-Life, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Well, good. California's not broke. I mean, but the government is broke. I mean, they have pension deficits in almost all their governments that they'll never be able to make up, so I don't know what's going to happen to that.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Michael Flynn thing, it all has to do with he wasn't telling the truth to the vice president and other people, not only about the call to the Russian ambassador, but something about his son. He lied about that. And so I think it's a good thing that they fired him. Or got him to resign.
Yeah, I think it was that he claimed his son had security clearance and he didn't actually have it.
Yeah, that's what it was. Well, here's the real gist of the whole thing. Wherever you read news, you can go to your web page news, you know, and they are so slanted against Trump. Everything is against Trump. And, of course, all of the Alphabet channels, most of the radio, all of those news organizations are trying to bring Trump down. So now they're going to say, well, see, he doesn't know what he's doing. He picked the wrong guy. And so whatever Trump does is never right. And I'm not, necessarily for Trump. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat.
Yeah, no, you weren't a big, I know, I remember talking to you during the campaign. You weren't a big Trump supporter, so.
No, I voted for him.
Yeah, but
just because his opposition makes me so mad. You know, the news people are Democrats. They're socialists. And, I mean, Trump's kind of a fascist. But anyway, it's just totally sick how bad our news is.
And, yeah. Trump is more in line, though, with your, you know, your main issue that is fairly clear.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll get off the...
All right, Pro Life. Thanks for checking in, brother. Have a good Tuesday. Else. We appreciate it.
Dave of Boise says Trump hired him based on lies, so how is it Trump's fault for hiring him? If he did not lie, he would have been a good candidate, and we would not be having this conversation. Well, true. If he hadn't lied, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
And here's the thing with the president, and I only speak for my lifetime. I can't talk about pre-1962.
Okay.
But in my lifetime, presidents get far too much blame and far too much credit.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's just how it is with that office.
And Congress never seems to get enough of either.
Exactly.
Damon wrote in to say, I don't see this as a scandal. He spoke to the Russian ambassador. I'll have more flexibility after the election wasn't the topic of their conversation. What do I see as a huge issue is he decided to lie to the VP. That's a character flaw. Even if the call wasn't a big deal, he can no longer be trusted. I also have a huge issue with the government spying on a private citizen. Snowden was right again. And then leaking the conversation to the press. Flynn did the right thing by stepping down, whether on his own or with some guidance from his superiors, but they need to investigate the leak and charge the individual who spied on him and charge the individual who released the information. Now, the reference to I'll have more flexibility after the election, of course, that's what Obama said. But at the time, he was already president.
Yeah.
He was in his first term.
And piggybacking onto what he said, the real story, Donald Trump tweeted out, the real story here is why there are so many illegal leaks coming out of Washington. Will these leaks be happening as I deal on North Korea, et cetera? There are leaks. You think the dam in California's got leaks. There's nothing. There's nothing like all the leaks coming out of D.C.
The disgruntled vet just wrote in to say California is $443 billion in debt. I'm not saying there's no money in California. I'm just saying that for the most part, the state of California doesn't own most of it.
The government is broke, but I don't think the people and there's a lot of money being made in California, just not by the government.
They have a lot of promises out there.
Yeah, and like I don't know if it was Pro-Life or Jim said, they're paying a lot of pensions, so a lot of the taxes that are going to the government are immediately going out again to pay for people who have been retired for 15 years.
And this is slightly off the topic, but Gary of Emmett said the Oroville Dam in California is in the news. If it fails, there is one thing news stories haven't talked about yet, summer water shortages in Southern California. Los Angeles and San Diego counties depend on that dam for a sizable portion of the water they sell. Without that source, many people in Southern California will learn about living in a desert.
I mean, it's going to be
apart from the ones who already do.
Yeah, it's going to be a story, that's for sure. We'll cover it top of the hour. I can promise you that every time the top of the hour comes around, damn, will be the top issue, I would guess. Paul J should be back tomorrow. I think he's going to be feeling better. Fingers crossed, so that I don't have to get up at 3 o'clock again. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Todd Fondy, I got to talk to you after the show. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your Tuesday, everybody. Get outside and enjoy it before it gets to be rainy.
That's got to be a good thing.